Amen. So let's pray together now as we are about to turn our attention to the Word, okay? Father, in Jesus' name now, as we are here in your presence, opening up your Word, and in these moments now, that we would hear from heaven, that something extraordinary from your Word would speak to us and do something extraordinary in each one of our lives. I pray in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Now, if I were to ask you, who would you consider your enemy? What would you, you know, do you know who your enemy is? What would you say? Huh?
The brain.
Okay. The devil. Yeah, that's an obvious answer and the obvious right answer. Absolutely, the devil. We've just went from sports to politics. What's next? What else? You know, seriously though, huh? Say again. So our sin nature, me. You know, someone said if you had to kick the one who gave you the most trouble, I wouldn't be able to sit down for a year, right? Forever. And so that absolutely, there is that nature that's being transformed, and in the process, it gives us trouble. The Bible calls that our old person, the old nature, sinful nature, the flesh calls it. I just refer to it as me. And absolutely true. And then someone said fear. And so we have these phobias, these attitudes, in fact, these situations that absolutely do come at us as enemy. Doubt could be an enemy, right? So many things that we can label and that are for real enemies to us that have a way of attacking our faith. Mostly attacks our faith, attacks our mood. You know, you ever wake up and even before your feet, you know, hit the floor, it's like I'm in a bad mood. And I think that sometimes we need to look at that as an enemy. Yeah, as an enemy. Meaning that what? Like we would treat any enemy, I need to oppose that. I need to stand against, I need to recognize that as an enemy. Now, all right, and there's one enemy that, of course, I want to draw our attention to this morning that stands among the big three, if you will, of enemies that's been forever recognized as the three biggies that are enemies to us as a Christian. And there's a danger that from this particular enemy or what this enemy is that we don't always recognize. And it's the enemy that exists in our culture that is, in fact, I could say, the enemy is our present culture that subtly works to squeeze the very life out of us. The three biggies are, as you already said, the devil, the flesh, or me, and the world, or our culture, the culture in which we live. And again, I say each of them have their subtleties, and the world has its particular way, and maybe a little bit more subtle than the others, because we take it for granted that, well, this is life, this is my life, these things are normal. And then also because we become desensitized, perhaps, by the noise that is in the world. I wish Dave were here now to get me a bottle of water I need. Thank you, Mike. See that, Dave? You're missed. But anyways, and you know, it's easy to do. You know, we go through the motions sometime, and you know, we live in the world, and right, and absolutely, you know, we are people who believe that as Christians that the world is our place. The world is our place. You know, we don't. We're not of the mindset that, well, you know, to be a good Christian, I have to somehow withdraw, you know, from the world. Friends in the world and places in the world and, you know, what the world has to offer. You know, I have to somehow, you know, live almost in this monkish, right, type of existence as a Christian. Not so. We believe that the grace of God has come to us in such a way, as Jesus said, you are what? You are the salt of the earth, and you are what? The light of the world. And so we believe that. And how careful, you know, we have to be. Now, having said that, we also have to realize that the Bible is clear in showing us that the world can be one of our most treacherous enemies, and that it has a way of working on us to squeeze, as I already said, the very life out of us. I think of Demas. Demas in the Bible was a co-worker with the Apostle Paul, and he was, you know, he was serving Jesus. He was also, you know, learning leadership. And so, you know, he was taking his Christianity very seriously. And in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10, it says this about him. Paul laments the condition of Demas when he says, Demas has forsaken us. Demas has forsaken me. Demas has turned from the Lord. And then it says this, having loved this present evil world. In other words, Demas let the world suck the life out of him. And as a result, he's turned his back on Jesus. I think of the prodigal son. And who doesn't know the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, right? We all know that story. You say, what happened there? Well, here's a young man that, you know, came of age, and having come to age in that day, he was entitled to a certain amount of the family take, the family inheritance, what the family had. So he came to age and he said, hey, Dad, he said, you know, I think I'll take mine now. Thank you very much. And off he went. And what it shows is that he was basically turning his back, not only on his family, but on his family's God. And he said, I'm going to live my life in the world the way that I want to live it. And we see from the story in Luke chapter 15, the story of the prodigal son, how it was that his decision to turn to the world sucked the very life out of him. That he came to his senses when? When he was eating with the pigs, right? When he was eating pig food. And he came, it says he came to his senses. The tragedy is, how many end up there and don't come to their senses? I know people like that. I do. It's scary, and it's tragic. And then there is in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 4, where we are told that in the world in which we live, there is a God of this world, small g. There is a God of this world. And as we said, his name is Satan, his name is the devil. And I draw your attention to that to show you that the world is not a friendly place. That the world is an enemy to us as Christians. Now, because of the fallenness of the world, because of the world system it, over which the devil is its god. And behind all of that, the devil constantly is vigilant to be working the world, trying to work the world in such a way that it sucks the life out of us. And so I got to be on guard. And in particular this morning, I want to draw our attention to Romans chapter 12 in verses 1 and 2 to help us in living in the world, how it is that I live in the world. Remember what Jesus said. He said, you are in the world, but you are not what? You're not of the world. So that I no longer live according to the god of this world, but I have come to know Christ, and I live according to the God, right? Lord Jesus Christ, and in the world. So I'm not of the world. I'm careful that, and I have to be vigilant to watch how it is that I interact with the world so that it does not suck the life out of me. That all of the good things in the world do not become bad in my life. And I want you to hear that. That is a real possibility, having an enemy to which we are all of us, vulnerable to. Did you get that? There's no immunity pill that we can take to say, oh, I never have to worry about that. It almost goes along with my message last week that I spoke about our first love and how it is that we have to tend to the garden of our souls, that there are things that can grow there that strangle out, that choke out the very life of our love for Jesus, okay? And the world is right in there. And the Holy Spirit is constantly at work in our lives, helping us to as we live in the world, not to become of it. And so I want you to think this morning. I want you to be open in your heart this morning to say, Lord, help me to take inventory in my life this morning. Am I on the verge of becoming like a Demas? Lord, am I coming into this kind of, prodigality, this prodigal type of relationship? Lord, is the God of this world having an influence in my life that I shouldn't be letting him have? Is life being sucked out of my life because I'm becoming of the world? It says in Romans chapter, did you get that? You with me? I'm right there with you. You say, Pastor, how do you know these things? Ding, 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 ding. This is where I live. Right? I mean, you get that, right? You never feel from me like I'm preaching at you, right? I mean, do you? I hope not. So Romans 12, 1 and 2, he says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, he says, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Now, notice that, how the NIV puts it. This is your spiritual act of worship. This is what worship is about, he says, right here. That dimension of being a living sacrifice. Okay? And he goes on to say, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. You see it there? The things that I was talking about in my introductory comments. Don't be of the world. There's a pattern in the world. There's a system. There's a well-strategized a platform for operation in our present culture. And its intent, you got to hear this once again, its intent is to leave you high and dry. Okay? That's what its intent is. He says, so therefore, he says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Not conformed, transformed. Be other than. And the idea is, allow a change to happen in your life by the renewing of your mind so that you are able to not let this enemy of the world overcome your life by the renewing of your mind. He says, when this happens, he said, you'll then be comfortable in the will of God. And I'm reminded when I say that, because this is God's intention, his will. He said, when you pray, pray how? Our Father, who's in heaven, we worship you. Then he says what? Your kingdom come. What? Your what? Will be done where? Your will be done where? On earth. You see? So that the dimension that I live in, not being of the world, but being in it, is that I am, my life is, you know, I'm living my life to a beat of a different drummer, right? And that beat is the will of God, the will of God, the will of God, the will of God, the will of God for my life. Whew. And opposite to sucking the life out of me, that puts life into me. He says, then you will be able to test and approve what is God's will. So that as you operate in this worship, as you operate within this mindset of which he's talking, he says, you'll come to live your life according to that will, the will of God, which has been by design from the beginning for me. This is what God, how God always intended for me to be, how God always intended for me to live according to his will. I work when I live according to his will. Other than, if not, I just don't work right. Yep. He says, and that will is good, pleasing, and perfect. Those aren't three kinds of the will of God, by the way. That's all of his will. His will is good. His will is pleasing. His will is perfect. You understand? So God help us, as I just say, as I make two statements about that. Okay? God help us. The first is this. Let me just read this to you from the J.B. Phillips translation. I've had this, I love this translation from Romans chapter 12. He says this. Love the way he puts it. I've already alluded to it. If I can find Romans, let me see. Okay. Here we go. He says, with eyes wide open to the mercies of God, I beg you, my brothers, as an act of intelligent worship, to give your bodies as a living sacrifice, consecrated to him and acceptable by him. Don't let the world squeeze you into its own mold. I like that. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. Don't let the world put the squeeze on you. We understand that cliche, don't we? No. He says, but let God remake you so that your whole attitude of mind is changed. Let God remake you. And so my body, your body is a temple of God's Spirit. That's the first thing that I want you to see about this. And that my body is it. God, when God gave me my body, he gave me my body to be an instrument of worship to him. And so you say, you know, why do we begin our services with worship? What's going on there? Well, you know, what good is a trumpet if it's not played? What good is a piano if it's not played? You know, they're not just for decorations, right? And it's like our bodies. God gave us our body. God gave me my body that it might be played. How? I engage my body in worship. That's how. And it's something that I was made for. And when this happens, When I engage my body in worship, I'm a living sacrifice, and I worship the Lord. There is a releasing of the presence of God in my life that helps me to keep the proper distance from the world's influence in my life. Oh boy, I'm telling you, that's how it works. You understand that it becomes a weapon against the enemy of the world in my life. That as I worship, it clears my head. It says to me, this is how I connect. This is what I was made for. I'm lifted. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And there is a releasing in my spiritual system that affects me all over, that also releases, that keeps me from the ill influences of the culture from sucking the life out of me. The second thing is my mind, as he says here. My mind is a temple of God's word, or at least it ought to be. And how often do I harp on this? How often do I harp on this? Those of you who are here Friday night, didn't you like Troy's little analogy of the word? Right? Wasn't that good? You know, took that big Bible, exercising it. That was good. That was a great little analogy, and his encouragement. And now listen, you know, you can read the Bible 24/7. And maybe, you know, it'll help you if you ever went on Jeopardy and the Bible category came up and you were able to answer all the questions there. But, you know, just because we read it, it doesn't give it to us, right? We understand that. But I'll tell you what, it puts us in the condition for it to happen, that if you're not into it, the conditions aren't right for the good stuff to happen. And so I harp on it. And as he says here, My mind is a temple for God's word. And that when I put myself into it, when I put myself into God's word and allow God's word to be put into me, there is a renewing that takes place in my mind. There's a transformation that takes place in my mind. And by that transformation of his word into my life, once again, there is given to me a strength. There is given to me the resources that I need not to allow the ill influences of the world to suck the life out of me. Without which, you're dead in the water. You're dead in the water. I said to my wife the other day that I think I'm coming to the conclusion to categorically state that if you claim to be a Christian and someone who knows Jesus and you're not continually in the Word, that it's impossible for you to be a Christian, at least for very long. I'm coming to that conclusion. But let me just say again that these two things here, they equip us to keep ourselves from that dimension of ill that can happen to us so easily without our recognizing it. And we begin to accept things without questioning them. That's going on in the world politically. So many things in relationships, in our consumerist society, that we begin to take on things and act and think things and believe things that begin then to control our lives, when in fact, behind all of them is the psst of the serpent, and he's beguiling us, and he's stealing from us the very life that God has given to us. These things, worship, that I am a temple of the Holy Spirit, these things, my mind is a temple of his word, will prevent that from happening. Amen. Let's stand together. And so I submit this word to you for your good consideration before the Lord. Father, here we are, and Lord, you see us. And I submit this word to you and ask us now as we leave that these things would ring in our ears and take root in our hearts to bring forth fruit for eternal life in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Go in peace.